correspond to. You know, people take all kinds of steps to try to appear younger, act younger, and just put off the reality that there is an inevitability about life, a part of the way that God has made it, and in light of the fall, that means that we will get older. And apart from the return of Christ, we will all die. And you say, wow, Pastor, I came to church tonight to be encouraged, and we're off to a really exciting start here. But this is where this passage takes us to, and it's not surprising. We've talked about these things in different degrees earlier on in the book of Ecclesiastes. And so that's where Solomon's going to take us tonight, to look at the realities of the end of life. But really, the implications of this passage is for those who are alive. And a lot of it is for those in particular who are young. And you can describe yourself however you want to on that spectrum of things. In a lot of ways in this passage, there's a certain relativity to it. So our text for tonight is going to be beginning in verse 7 of Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and continuing down through verse 8 of chapter 12. So if you'd follow along here as I read this. Ecclesiastes 11, 7, truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity, they're fleeting. Chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desires shall fail. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity. The title of the message this evening is Principles for Living a Meaningful, Satisfying Life. Principles for living a meaningful and satisfying life. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for the lives that you have given to us. We're thankful for the opportunities that you put before us. We're thankful for the privileges that we have, the salvation that we have, the families we have, the church family we have. There are just so many blessings in our lives. I pray, Father, that we would pause and just rejoice and be thankful and appreciate the richness of life on this earth. And yet there are realities to this life. And it's a short life. It passes quickly. And I pray, Father, that rather than just kind of live our lives carelessly, thoughtlessly, focused on our own things, I pray that you would challenge us tonight from this passage of Scripture as to how we can live lives that make a difference. Lives that are meaningful, lives that are satisfying, lives that are pleasing to you. So we ask for your blessing as we work our way through this interesting passage, through this confrontational kind of passage about the realities of aging and of death. But Father, we understand that your purpose in a passage like this is not that we would be discouraged or just kind of giving up on things, but rather that we would value the life that we have and the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, and that we would live in a manner that just takes stock of those realities and in a way that allows you to use us to make a difference in the lives of others. So I pray that you'd guide my words and my thoughts tonight, and pray that you would just help each of us to focus on what your Spirit has for each one of us. There may be different applications for different ones, but I believe, Father, that you will use your word in a powerful way in our lives if we'll be open, if we'll be willing to believe, if we'll be willing to obey. So we pray your blessing upon this time now that we spend together in your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So as I just in light of the title there, what I want to do tonight is just as we look at this passage is identify three principles for living a meaningful life in light of the reality of death. Now, one of the ways that that people just kind of naturally and instinctively view the coming of death is to kind of feel like, well, what's the point? Life is short and then it's over, and they come to all kinds of different conclusions. But really, the thing is this, that every moment of our lives is important to God. And every moment of our lives, God has things that he is doing and that he wants to do and wants to work in us and wants to work through us. And it is all very important to him, very meaningful to him. There may be uncertainties about life. We might not know whether God will take us home today or 50 years from now. But nonetheless, we know that our lives are important to God. And he wants us to live lives that are meaningful, that are fulfilling, that make a difference. You know, when I first started this study, I looked at a lot of different books and commentaries and sermon series, and there were about as many titles or kind of summary statements as there were things that I looked at or read. And one of the commentaries that I use is entitled Ecclesiastes, Why Everything Matters. And the guy titled it that way because some people look at Ecclesiastes and say, well, it kind of is talking about life being just meaningless. And he says, quite the contrary. The point of Ecclesiastes is that this is all very important to God. And that's my challenge to us tonight. Your life is important to God. How you live is significant to God. God wants you to have a meaningful life, a productive life, a fulfilling life, a life that makes a difference for his cause. So I'm just going to give you three principles. We could draw more than that. And certainly, as we work through the book of Ecclesiastes, we've seen a lot of different exhortations, a lot of different appeals. But here are the three we're going to look at tonight. Number one, enjoy the life God has given you. And we've talked about this before. This is a theme that comes up again and again in the book of Ecclesiastes. And Solomon here begins this section with a call to rejoice in the beauty of life, knowing that it passes quickly. Look at verse 7. He says, truly, the light is sweet and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. And he's just talking about some of the things we observe in life. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, in other words, if God gives you many years, you should rejoice in every one of them, but also remember that there will be the days of darkness, for they shall be many, and all that cometh is vanity. It's fleeting. You can't wrap your hands around it. So the essence of verse 7 is this. Life is sweet and its blessings are bright. And it is right for us to make the best of life while we can, to stop and smell the roses, as they say. You know, there are different ways that people look at things. You know, there's on the one hand, there's people who just live life for all the fun and gusto that you can give. And, you know, we tend to look at that and say, well, that's not very spiritual. But then we look at something where Solomon says, you know, eat, drink, enjoy life. And we say, well, that doesn't sound very spiritual. Well, I shouldn't be reading this book and saying it doesn't sound very spiritual. You know, the Bible does tell us, Solomon does challenge us that he wants us to enjoy life. And it's not just the big things, and it's not just those things that we classify as spiritual. You know, we certainly ought to enjoy those things. But it really is everything about this life. You know, many things in life are sweet. For me, one of them is angel food cake. You know, I'm not normally a dessert person, but I love angel food cake. And I'm in a minority in my family. Now, I have been working really hard to convince my grandsons to like angel food cake, because if they do, we'll get it more often. Okay, as it is, it's maybe a couple of times a year. You know, you always get to pick your cake for your birthday. So last week I picked angel food cake, you know, and everybody else doesn't like it as much. So there's always plenty left over for me. So it's not a bad deal. But, you know, that is something that is just a sweetness of life for me. And by the way, I think that cake is well named, right? Why would you want to eat devil's food cake when you can eat angel food cake? You know, I love my wife's smile. It just brings joy to my heart. And I love the giggling of my grandsons. That is sweet to me. I got my second COVID shot this morning, and I stopped by the house to drop the car off afterwards, and Max and Luca were there with their bright blue eyes, and just seeing them and seeing my kids. It is a pleasant blessing of life, something for which I am greatly thankful and that I try not to take for granted. You know, something that my wife loves are beautiful sunsets. She will often look out our west windows and say, "Ooh, look at that sunset." It just is, it's a blessing to her. It's a sweetness of life. You know, there's enjoyment. I don't like to sit in the sun, right? I do better sitting in the shade, you know, surrounded maybe by some plush grass on a sunny, breezy, not too hot spring day. You know, I enjoy a good meal, a comfortable bed, a warm shower where there's plenty of water pressure. You know, I enjoy photos and videos of family gatherings. Our kids got, I think they gave it to my wife, but I reaped the benefits of it. This little thing that they can upload pictures electronically remotely. And so every once in a while, you look over there and, oh, there's a new picture I haven't seen before. And it sits right next to our computer. So if I'm working on the computer, I'm just taking in these pictures, and they cheer my heart, and they are sweet to me. We have so many blessings, folks, in life. Christian friends, you know, encouraging conversations with each other. We have the wonders of the Word of God. We have freedoms in this country. We can listen to good music. We have enjoyable pastimes. We have the privilege of seeing God at work in people's lives. There are just, and when God tells us to enjoy life, He means all those things. Just that full scope of things. You know, yes, we should enjoy being in church. Yes, we should enjoy reading the scripture. Yes, we should enjoy sharing the gospel with people. But we should also enjoy angel food cake, okay? If you don't, you need to learn to. All right? That's, you know, God says enjoy the sweet things of life, the bright blessings of life. You know, we need to take the time to notice the pleasures, the pleasantries of life. Find the pleasure in each moment, each hour, each day, each year, and rejoice in them all. You know, Solomon says, if you experience many, many years, you know, rejoice in every one of them. Now, in verses 7 and 8, Solomon's appeal is particularly to those of us who are older, you know, who have had more time to enjoy the pleasures and the goodness of life that God has given us. And we've had more opportunities to find true satisfaction in life by serving the Lord with our lives. You know, sometimes we maybe look upon those among us who are older and we see them beginning to struggle with health. And we wonder if life, with all its infirmity, is discouraging for them. And I'm sure there may be days where that is so. But I have found that those who walk closely with God, even given the realities of getting older, will often say something like this. You know, with the Lord, life just keeps getting better and better and better. And, you know, from a practical standpoint, I suppose some of that's true is because as you see how quickly life passes you by, you appreciate what you have a little bit more. You know, and you've had time to kind of take stock and see what really does matter. Those things when you're younger that you thought were a big deal, were important, were essentials of life. You get a little bit older and you realize, you know what, I experienced that. That it wasn't that. There's far more important things. There's far more significant things. And so your perspective changes. And sometimes you find out, you know, when you get to be my age, that the ability to dunk a basketball just isn't a big deal. You know, not that I ever could, you know, but I mean, you know, there's things that young people find very, very exciting, You know, and you reach a point in life where you say, well, you know, I mean, that was fun, you know, and enjoy it while you can, you know, but let's recognize what the really important and significant things are. And even as you experience, you know, some of those struggles and challenges of getting older, there are so many things to be enjoyed, so many things to be treasured. So Solomon says, if God has given you many years, rejoice in those years. Be thankful for the sweetness of life and the light of the sun that you now have, because if you live for many years, you can expect that there will be some dark days. And you'll eventually experience some of the pressures and discomforts and infirmities of life along with its sweetness. Sooner or later, we will suffer loss, disappointment, injustice, and grief. My mother-in-law recently turned 93 years old. And when you experience a rich and long life like that, one of the things you realize is that you have outlived all your peers. You know, your high school classmates, there aren't many, if any, of them left. You know, your friends as a young couple, you know, husbands and wives, there aren't many of those left upon this earth. And in those latter years, if God blesses you with extended years, there's griefs, there's sorrows, as well as the infirmities of the flesh. Those are realities of life. And yet, God says that we can find joy. We can appreciate. We can value life. But sooner or later, all that comes, Solomon says at the end of verse 8, is vanity. I mean, you can't control it. You can't predict it. Things just happen, and you're going to experience these things in life. Now, this isn't Solomon being contradictory in his advice. Right? When he says, you know, that you can expect that these things that have come, there's going to be these darknesses, it's not that he's confused. He's actually offering clarity. And Ecclesiastes gives us a realistic view of life that is joyful about life's happy pleasures, while at the same time being honest about its many sorrows. You know, and that is a healthy perspective. You know, it's just facing the reality of the way life is. And we've talked a lot about, you know, the uncertainties of life and just accepting that, you know what, I can trust God for those things. And I just need to rest secure in Him. And as we get older and as we experience, you know, just the realities of dying, thou shalt die, of our bodies weakening, all, you know what, God is there for us. And those are the realities of life. And He will carry us through those things. And so what Ecclesiastes really does is it confronts that escapism and that denial of reality that I alluded to earlier that our culture just kind of chases after. They just want to kind of put those things out of mind and get past it as quickly as they can. And as we talked about earlier in this book, you know, that's why Solomon says sometimes it's good to go to the house of mourning. You know, it makes you think about what's real in life, what's important in life. The way that life unfolds, the way even that life ends, it's good for us to just note those things, not to be drugged down by it, you know, not to be just overwhelmed by it, but to recognize those realities so that we can enjoy the life that God has given us every day. Solomon isn't being cynical. He's not being pessimistic. He's not trying to rob us of joy. Yes, the days of darkness, you know, qualify, I suppose, what he's been saying about rejoicing in the light, but they don't negate it. You know, until our last breath, there will be sweetness in the world. And to the end of our days, even as we are confronted with the reality of some of the dark things, some of the hard things, we're called to see that sweetness even against the backdrop of sickness. I remember once being in a home of a man. He was actually in a care facility recovering from a recent fall or some sort of infirmity, and his wife was at home and essentially in a hospice condition. And I got a call from the caretaker of this lady that she sensed that this lady was going to pass on into eternity very, very soon. So we worked it out with this facility where the gentleman was, and they would, you know, so that he could go home to be there with his wife, and I went and picked him up, and it was up in Wheaton, and I got there as quickly as I could, and it's about 11:30 at night, and he is standing out on the edge of the street impatiently waiting for me to get there so that he can go be with his wife. And we went there, and he's there with his wife in the other room, and the caretaker and I were in the next room because we didn't want to intrude on their very, very private moments. And he was there just gently being with his wife as God took her into eternity. Yeah, and he was saddened by that. He said, one of the sweetest things I have ever heard in my life. She was, I think, 95. And I don't remember if it was the coroner or who, but somebody from the mortuary, but somebody came, and they were getting the information together, and the person said, 95, wow, she lived a long and full life. And the gentleman said, well, I wish God would give her 95 more. You know, there was just a tenderness and a sweetness there, and yet an acceptance of reality. You know, he knew his wife was in heaven, and now he's there with her too. You know, that came some years after that. But, you know, there is those realities of dying and death are not intended to be our undoing. There's a measure of sweetness even in that, if we look at things the right way, if we think about things the right way. So don't take life for granted. Don't take the sweet things in life for granted. Don't complain about all your problems. One of my burdens as I get older is that I would not become one of those people who just chronicles all my infirmities and is constantly complaining about, you know, soreness and this and that and this and that. You know, that I would be able to relate to the joys of life even if I'm struggling with some particularly acute infirmity. That's, if God gives you those many years, that may be you. But, you know, we have to choose what we focus on. We do need to see things as they are. But there are spiritually healthy ways of looking at hard things, and there are spiritually unhealthy ways of looking at hard things. And we need to focus our minds on the day's blessings. And I think most of us have met people who are in very, very difficult physical conditions. And yet, when you go to see them, there's a smile on their face. They're interested in finding out what's going on in the lives of others. There's a sweetness about them as they focus on the joys of life, even as they are personally dealing with some of the particularly hard struggles of life. You know, we're called to greet each day the way the psalmist does. Psalm 118, verse 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And sometimes that day holds some hard things. Sometimes it holds some better things. But each day is a day that we can rejoice in, that we can be glad for. Now, the context of that verse is the identification of Jesus as the chief cornerstone of our salvation. And there's a lot of debate about, is it talking about a particular day? Some might say the day of his birth in Bethlehem. Some might say the day of his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Some might say the day of his resurrection, or the day, in a broader sense, of the entirety of his glorious life and atoning death. You know, and my point tonight isn't to sort that out. It's simply to say this. Every day that we have with Jesus in our lives is indeed a day marked by joy and gladness, the circumstances of life notwithstanding. You know, each day we focus on God's blessings. We say, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will, you know, resolved to rejoice and be glad in it. You know, you don't know when. You don't know what it will be like for you as you grow older. But if God gives you many years, you can expect that there will be some hard times. That's what Solomon says. So appreciate what you have now. Rejoice in the pleasures of life. You know, right to the end, but in particular right now, as you have a certain vitality and an ability to enjoy an even greater measure, you should do so. Enjoy the life God has given you. Second principle, embrace God's purpose for your life. I mentioned that verses 7 and 8 are aimed at those of us who are older. Now in verse 9, Solomon turns his attention to those who are younger, but his appeal is the same, rejoice. Verse 9 says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. You know, it has been said that youth is wasted on the young. Okay, there's dispute about who actually said that, but you know, there is just a natural enjoyment that comes upon young children. Young people naturally enjoy many blessings in life. Children and teens in particular, you know, they don't experience some of the burdens and cares that come with having adult responsibilities. And their bodies are strong and getting stronger. Their hearts are full of good cheer and easy laughter. The future is full of possibilities and opportunities. And there is a sense, kind of a measure of freedom to take some risks because you'll have time to recover if you need to. And you know, and so people just say, I kind of have a vision for things and they can dream dreams because there's so much in front of them. And those are reasons. Solomon doesn't say, don't rejoice in those things. You know, if you are young, rejoice in the opportunities that are before you. You know, rejoice in the unfolding life ahead of you. And yet, once again, Solomon adds a cautionary note. You know, when he says, walk in the ways of thine heart, you know, that's something that our culture would want to interpret as follow your heart, I think is the expression that you hear. And by that, they basically mean, do whatever you want to do. If you feel like you should do this, do this. You know, and while Solomon is encouraging the young to dream big and pursue the desires of their heart, that's not without boundaries. So in verse 9, at the end of verse 9, he makes it clear that he's not saying, just do whatever you want. A lot of young people approach life that way. You know, it's my life, and I'll do what I want. The natural inclinations of youth, and even of older people, sadly, is often to think mainly of themselves and what they want and what they desire. You know, they like to live for the moment without pausing to consider the consequences and the implications of their choices and actions. And again, that's not limited just to young people, but, you know, impulsiveness certainly is the province of the simple, the young who have not yet learned through the experiences of life, have not yet fully grown in their understanding of the Word of God. And so they chase after things because they have desires, but they're not always healthy desires. You know, maybe they buy on impulse. Maybe they pursue romance without wanting a lifelong relationship. You know, many decisions are determined simply by what I like. So Solomon cautions, you know, as you follow the desires of your heart, remember this, you know this, that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. See here, Solomon, Koheleth, the preacher as he calls himself, knows that young people face many temptations. And he also believes that God is mindful of every life. And as a righteous judge, he will hold every one of us accountable for how we live our lives. So he adds that reminder. He tells, you know, the young, hey, listen, enjoy life. You know, right now life is exciting. Enjoy it. You know, experience that excitement. But remember this, God is watching. And one day you will answer to him. Now, Solomon, he's not saying that just with an intention of kind of sucking the joy out of life. You know, neither is he trying to give the impression that you know, God is just kind of this dark taskmaster who's just out to get you. Rather, what he's reminding us is, you know what, your life belongs to God. God is your creator. And if you're a believer, God is your redeemer. And you belong to God. And God has desires for your life that are more important even than your own desires. Now, the goal is to bring your desires in line with God's desires. And that leads to a fulfilling and a rich life. But God will bring thee into judgment. There is an accountability. That's what he says at the end of verse 9. Paul reminds us of the same thing in Romans 2:16 when he tells us that there's a day coming when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And of course, he's speaking there to the last days. And that day may seem a long way off, especially to those who are young. But the judge is always near. And folks, God sees everything we do. He hears every word we speak. He knows every thought we think. He's mindful of how we use our time. He's aware of our every motive. He's watching every image that we look at. He's noticing every penny that we spend, and it's all important to him. our ambitions, our decision-making, how we handle our relationships. All of this matters to God, and we ought to be careful in how we do things. You know, we need to live our lives for Him. Young person, as the amazing life God has given you unfolds before you, you need to remember that God has a plan for you. And for those of us who are older, now we're farther down the path, but God still has a plan for us. You know, and it may be the plan that we feel like we're on and we kind of see where it's going. It may be a little bit different. He may shift that around, but God has a plan, and it's important to Him how we live our lives. And He wants us to enjoy life. And He does want us within boundaries to pursue our desires and the things that seem to us to be important and meaningful about life. But we need to do that recognizing that we belong to God and He is watching, and we do answer to Him. And so we need to live lives that fulfill His purpose for our lives. So it's as if Solomon says, rejoice responsibly. Sometimes they say, drink responsibly. Well, rejoice responsibly. Enjoy life's pleasures, but not in sinful ways. Celebrate the gift and opportunities of youth, but at the same time, follow God's command to flee also youthful lusts and follow instead after righteousness and faith and charity and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Solomon continues in verse 10 of our text. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Here, he's advising us to eliminate the bad things in life that trouble our bodies and souls. And the word there that's translated sorrow isn't speaking so much about sadness in this context as it is about frustrations and vexations. And oftentimes those are frustrations that we bring upon ourselves. As best we know how, we need to stop fixing our minds on problems that cause worry and irritation and anger. We need to stop pursuing those things. You know, this is a pattern of thinking we all need to learn. We talked about those thinking patterns on Sunday. And young people especially need to learn how to cultivate the right kinds of thoughts and the right kind of focus. When he says we're to put away evil from thy flesh, certainly that would include, setting aside sinful choices, many of which actually wreak havoc on your physical body. But it also involves simply taking prudent steps to keep our bodies healthy. In a sense, verse 10 is a call to take care of both your mental and physical health. And he says, for childhood and youth are vanity. Those young years of good health and vitality, they are hebel, right? That word we've looked at throughout this study. They are like vapor. They are fleeting. And you think of young people, and they have that youthful exuberance, and they desperately want to grow up, and they can't wait till they reach this next stage in life. And we who are older look back and say, oh, to be young again. To have that energy level. I watch my grandsons and I think, man, if you could bottle that, you'd be a millionaire in no time flat. All that energy, all that vitality. Now it's still a little unbridled, and there's a lot of learning to be done there. But there's that vitality that passes with time. And so we need to learn to care for the minds and care for the bodies that God has given us so that we are useful to Him all the days that He has for us. The best remedy in the face of any infirmity, of course, is to go to God in prayer and cast our cares on Him. Whether you're young or old, God has the answers to problems and difficulties, to the things that afflict our bodies, to the things that afflict our minds and our souls. And we just need to rest in Him. Our part is to look to Him and to enjoy the life He's given us, and to embrace His will for our lives, and with His gracious help to make choices that honor Him. One more principle for living a meaningful, satisfying life. Remember that life is short, and that every day you have is a gift from God. Let's go back to that last phrase in verse 10. Childhood and youth are vanity. Okay, then look at what he says next. And here again, he's giving instruction intended mainly for young people, though the people who understand it best are probably those of us who are older. Verse 1 of chapter 12, he says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. And he's not talking about evil necessarily as in moral evil, but when the bad days, when the hard days, they're not there in your life yet. You're not at that point where you see the end of life drawing nigh. You know, because there's coming a day when you're going to say, I have no pleasure in them. In other words, the daily challenges of life are no longer pleasurable in the same sense as which they once were. So Solomon again refers to God as the creator or maker of all things in this verse. In chapter 3, we saw God as the creator who made everything fitting in its time. And he sets the way that your life is going to unfold. You know, and he will call the past into account. He's established a time to be born, a time to die, all of those things. And so he instructs here, Solomon instructs the young person, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days haven't arrived yet, nor the twilight years haven't drawn nigh yet. Okay? So when that evil days, the idea of bad days, sometimes if you have a person maybe who's in hospice care, and you know, and you're attending to them, you're spending time with them, and sometimes people will say, well, he or she had a really good day today. You know, they're still very infirm, but on the scale of things, you know, or had a really bad day today. And that's what he's talking about here when he talks about those bad days, those evil days. They will come. If you have enough years, you will experience some of those hard things when the days just aren't that pleasant anymore because they're fraught with sickness and suffering. So Solomon's exhortation to remember your Creator is an exhortation to remember his gifts and take pleasure in them now while you still can. As things are, you know, you may be in great health, you may have all kinds, well, enjoy those things now, because you may not always have them. And specifically, he's reminding us here about the reality of death. Life is short. And again, this isn't cynicism, this isn't pessimism, it's simply realism. And I might suggest that this could even be considered optimism, because Solomon is helping us to make the most out of life. You know, living a joyful, fulfilling life while you still can. In this chapter, I want to suggest that young versus old is to some degree relative. You know, and the point being, live for God with whatever youth and vitality you have, because if you live a long life, you will eventually slow down, and experiencing the pleasures will ultimately get harder. And that's part of living. Understanding the passing of times and seasons. And that's really vintage Ecclesiastes. That, you know, these things are going to come, and that is okay. So trust God. Enjoy life as much as you can, and live a God-centered life with every breath you take, because it may not always be as it is now. And to help make his point, Solomon gives us one of the really most memorable poems. And this is Hebrew poetry in the Bible. And it's a poem about the reality of mortality, if you will. And it's kind of a figurative description of old age in its physical manifestations. And he says in verse 2 that the time to remember your Creator is while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. So here he begins by comparing old age to a gathering storm, where both night and day are darkened by clouds. And after the rain falls, it seems like the clouds just immediately gather again. And that is what happens as we get older. You know, when you're young, you may have some physical difficulties, but there's still time for the sky to clear. But as we get older, it seems like it's one trouble after another, with little or no time to recover. And the light of life grows dim. And then in verses 3 through 5, he compares an infirm person to a house that is slowly crumbling with decay. So here's kind of the metaphors that are here. The keepers of the house are a person's arms, which start to tremble. The strong men that bow themselves are legs bent with age. The grinders, of course, are teeth, and there may not be many left, he suggests. The windows are the eyes, dimmed perhaps by cataracts or retina damage. You know, I have in recent years, about every year to 2 years, I need to get a new prescription because, and I watch the numbers on the prescription, and my eyes are getting progressively worse. And so the last time I was at the ophthalmologist, I said, so should I expect this to go on forever? I mean, there was a day when I was really close to 20/20 at least, and now I'm a far cry from that. And the ophthalmologist says, yeah, usually it does kind of plateau, but then usually other things start to happen like cataracts or retina damage or whatever. And I thought, well, that's encouraging, right? I won't have to get a new prescription to my glasses, but I won't be able to see for other reasons. And those are just the realities of getting older. In verse 4, the doors, our ears that are hard of hearing and thus closed to the hustle and bustle of a noisy street. There's insomnia, such that even when everything is quiet and peaceful, still the voice of the bird, maybe a robin singing his early morning serenade, is enough to awaken the person. That is one that I hope I never have to experience. You know, God has blessed me with the ability to fall asleep in about 5 seconds and wake up in about 5 seconds, and, you know, everything in between, just sleep, you know, both my wife and I. But that isn't always the case. And sometimes as the process of getting older, there's just increased difficulty with getting a good night of sleep. All the daughters of music are vocal cords that lack the elasticity to make sweet music. Verse 5 speaks of fearfulness, of fear of falling because balance is gone. Now, my wife doesn't like me to refer to myself as old, so I won't, you know. But in my slightly advancing age, in addition to the eyes, the thing that probably bothers me the most is I used to have great balance. Just fabulous balance. Now, I do live in fear. You know, I'm so cautious just going up a ladder. You know, I used to just kind of run up there and back down. And, you know, now I am cautious because sometimes I'm a night person. My wife will be asleep. I'm standing on a ladder, putzing with something. And there is that thought in my mind, be careful. Because if this tips over, you will be in a lot of hurt. And you don't have the resiliency to be that cat that lands on his feet anymore. You know, if I ever were, well, this would never happen, okay? But if I were pulled over and given a sobriety test, I would probably fail because I don't think I could walk a straight line toe-to-toe without falling over, you know? And it's just the reality of getting older. And, you know, that's okay. That's okay. There's still so much of life to enjoy. But Solomon says these are things that we do experience. There's the fear about being out and about in society, lest they be attacked in some way. The flourishing almond tree refers to hair that has turned white with age. The normally spry grasshopper now drags himself along, an allusion to the shuffle that often afflicts the elderly in the latter stages of life. Then there's diminished desire. Verse 5 refers to the desire that shall fail, whether that's speaking of romantic desire or simply the desire to rise from one's chair and do something. In 2 Samuel 19, King David invites the aged Barzillai to come to Jerusalem and join the king for a feast. And here's his answer. 2 Samuel 19, 35, he says, I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? In other words, I can't even think clearly anymore. Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can't taste or eat. Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? I'm hard of hearing. Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? And, you know, and I have met people who are at that stage of life where they feel like, I don't really want to do anything because I would just be a burden. Somebody'd have to help me. Somebody'd have to attend to me. And so the words here of Barzillai are not an uncommon thing. That's kind of one of the things that Solomon is referring to. So here was a godly man, but sadly, what he was experiencing was where the latter days of life often lead. Infirmity that quenches the desire to enjoy the opportunities that life offers. That's why, folks, we need to enjoy life now. That's why we need to live for God now. While we have the strength, while we have the energy, while we have the vitality, while we have the opportunity, while we have the ability to do so. Because the day will come when the old crumbling house collapses. And we have these memorable poetic descriptions of death. Man goeth to his long home. And the mourners go about the streets. Or the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken. People think that's an allusion to a golden lamp supported by a silver cord. The cord snaps and the lamp is shattered. Or the pitcher be broken, shattered at the fountain, at the well. Or the wheel broken at the cistern. In other words, the apparatus is destroyed beyond repair, and thus it's useless for drawing any life-giving water. Verse 7, then shall the dust, then shall the body return to the earth as it was. And the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity. Life is fleeting. It's like a vapor. It passes quickly. We will experience, if God gives us the years, we will experience some of these struggles, some of these challenges. And ultimately, God will take us to our long home. Those are the sober realities of life and death that everyone has to face in a fallen world. And Solomon says, in light of that, remember your Creator now. Take every opportunity you have before those things happen to you. Now, that may seem like an unduly negative text, but that's really not the point. It's simply a clarion call to the young in particular, but to all of us, to know your Creator before you grow old and die. That's the most important thing you can ever do. You know, Solomon isn't inviting a mindset shrouded in death. Rather, he's simply teaching us to live lives shaped by the reality of death, with being mindful of the reality of the brevity of life, rather than just living along as if, oh, I've got more days, I've got more time. No, live your life for God now. Take advantage of the opportunities that you have now. Enjoy life now. It's good for us to think about, you know what, if I knew God was going to take my life tomorrow, you know, what would I want to do differently today? That's not an unhealthy way to think. I don't mean be morbid. You know, I don't mean be just, you know, like that expression, don't be shrouded in death. But we should live in light of the reality of how short life is. Growing old and facing death are some of the hardest experiences in life. They say things like, you know, getting old isn't for wimps. You know, my dad always used to tell me, don't get old. I didn't obey him, okay? You know, but, you know, that's just the reality of life. And the Bible is honest about it, but not bitter. In fact, this passage really is a beautiful passage. You know, we can't fully appreciate the Hebrew poetic expression there, but it really is, you know, some beautiful metaphors, just, you know, facing the realities of getting older in a poetic way. And the Holy Spirit took special pains to treat aging and dying with respect and dignity. And that demonstrates God's loving care for his people all through life, the little ones, you know, the vital years of life, through old age and then on to the grave. Psalm 116, verse 15, a passage that I read pretty much every funeral I conduct at some point. But precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. But folks, we need to remember that it's not only in death that God's saints are precious to him. They are precious to him throughout all of life. They are precious to him, I think, in a special way, throughout the whole process of aging. And the senior saints that we know who are in the throes of infirmity should be precious to us too. And I was just really convicted, you know, as I was studying this, that we need to, as a church family, be particularly sensitive to those in our assembly who are struggling with some of these things that have been so poetically described, and reaching out to them. And bringing a smile into their room, and just offering some encouragement that they might enjoy, that they might be encouraged as they do face some of these darker things, some of these harder things. You know, that's God wants us to minister to one another that way. And if you all are precious in the sight of the Lord, then you all ought to be precious to me, and vice versa. That ought to be the spirit that we have one towards another. One more thought in light of this psalm: your Creator remembers you, and you are precious in his sight. You know, you may one day struggle with memory loss. That's another of those things that I hope never happens to me. Okay, I mean, bad memory loss. I'm not, you know, I already have memory loss, but, you know, where you kind of lose sight of everything. And you may even reach the point where you don't remember who you are, but God will never forget you. You'll always be precious to him. And God will continue to work in your life even as your body weakens, until the moment he gloriously takes you home. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." You know, for those of us on the brink of facing the realities of older age, you know, I trust that you're experiencing that truth. That though you're facing the realities of your body wearing out a little bit, that you have that realization that God is renewing you. He's at work in your heart, in your soul, in your life, day by day. You know, folks, as long as we are on this side of the grave, we still have lots of opportunities before us. And that's why I said the young-old categorization, you know, is somewhat relative. You know, as long as you have whatever vitality you have, we are to use that, you know, to be a blessing to others, to live our lives in light of God's purposes. You know, and so this passage really applies to us all in every way, even though some things are addressed to youth, some are addressed to older. So here's the message. Enjoy the life God has given you on this earth, because before you know it, it'll be gone. Embrace God's love and God's purpose for your life, and value every moment, and live for Him now. Those are some of Solomon's principles for living a meaningful, satisfying life. And those are things that if we will embrace, you know, we will experience greater sense of significance and meaning. Our Father, we're thankful for Your Word. And I pray that You would encourage us and challenge us about how we live our lives. I pray that we'd not take things for granted, but that we would appreciate the sweet things of life, the blessings of life, the bright light of life. And I pray, Father, that we would seek to be a blessing to those around us. I pray that we would be in particular sensitive to those who are experiencing in more acute ways than we may be, the wearing down of the body, the realities of the aging process, and that we would view those folks as precious in a particular way, even as You view them as precious. That we would seek to be a blessing one to another. I pray, Father, that for each of us here, we would value life and seek to live it to the fullest for the glory of God. Bless now as we spend a few moments together in prayer. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you need a prayer bulletin, if you'd lift your hand.